Matthew is going to come and read our Bible reading for us.
Our reading is from Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Matthew. Let's pray together. Lord, as we wait on you this morning in listening and expectation, we ask that you would renew us in the strength of your love, in the strength of your healing, in the strength of your forgiving grace, and in the strength of your word and guidance. Bless us each one as we take time now to reflect and to receive. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's time for lots of people to go on holiday. And if you're like some of my friends, you might discover that your passport's due. And you apply for a new passport, but you have to wait 10 weeks to get a new passport. Then you go to the airport and you discover that you have to wait to get through security because there's not enough security staff there just now, or they're on strike. And then you arrive at your destination to discover that since Brexit, you have to wait 4 times longer until the new system of border control lets you through into the country that you've gone to have your holiday in. And by the time you get there, you need another holiday. You've been waiting for so long to get through things. Every one of us, at some juncture in our lives, will have to learn to wait. Waiting is our destiny as creatures, who cannot by ourselves bring about what we hope for. We wait in the darkness for a flame we cannot light. We wait in fear for a happy ending we cannot write. We wait for a not yet that feels like a not ever. Waiting is the hardest work of hope. Waiting may be the hardest single thing we're called to do because it renders us powerless. Which, of course, is the point, to remember that we're not in control, that all matters are not up to us, that part of our pilgrimage as Christians is to accept God's timing, God's movement, God's initiative, and that in that we find grace. One of the more frustrating dimensions of this faith of ours is to read the Bible and to see how many times God keeps people waiting. Be still, he says. Hope. Someday your hope, your dream will be fulfilled, but not yet. So Noah has to wait for the flood waters to recede. Daniel waits through the night in the den of lions. That would have been a difficult wait. Sarah waits for a child. Jacob waits for Rebekah's hand. The Israelites wait in Egypt, but then wait 40 more years in the desert. Mary waits for Jesus. Simeon waits until he's an old man before he sees the Messiah. The apostles have to wait in Jerusalem for God's Spirit to come for Pentecost. And Paul waits in prison for for God to bring about release. The Bible is rich with language urging us to wait on God and God's timing, trusting God's grace and provision. It's part of our journey. It's a matter of trust. Waiting requires trust and faith. As Paul Tillich wrote so eloquently in The Shaking of the Foundations, our whole relationship to God is one of waiting. There is nothing we can do or know on our own. We must wait for God to act with grace towards us. Now, some forms of waiting can be a trifling matter. Depends on your temperament, right enough. You can be stuck in a traffic jam, or you can be waiting for a letter to come. You wait a bit longer these days. And you could be waiting for something which doesn't really matter. But then there are things which are really difficult in waiting. The kind of waiting a single person can do who hopes that one day they might get married, but not yet. The waiting of a childless couple who desperately want to start a family. The waiting of a deeply depressed person for a morning when they can wake up and just feel alive. The waiting of an elderly senior citizen in a nursing home, just waiting for someone to come, someone to visit. Every one of us at some juncture in our lives will have to learn to wait. And to do it well requires trust. Trust that we are in the hands of someone much larger than us. That the heart and will of our God is good. Trust in our waiting. God is at work in us, molding, shaping, creating us. Sue Monk Kidd tells a story of her personal spiritual retreat. And she goes on this retreat to try and just listen to God. So she goes out into the beautiful countryside with the trees and the running water, and she's just sitting there and she tries to concentrate, but her mind just keeps racing on to all the things she's got to do, and she just cannot sit still. I don't know if some of you are like that, but find it really hard to stop thinking about all the things you've got to do. Anyway, on the way back, she sees a monk, real monk this time, not just her name. And he's sitting under a tree, perfectly still. And she watches this monk for some time. And he's perfectly still. So she asks him, how do you do that? How do you stop thinking of anything? And he says to her, that's not what waiting is about. Waiting is not stopping doing things. It's about doing something which is really important. How is it you can be so still, she says. I can't get used to that idea of doing nothing. That's because you bought into the cultural myth that when you're waiting, you are doing nothing, says the monk. When you're waiting, you're actually doing the most important thing there is. You're allowing your soul to grow. It's helpful for us to remember that the deep things of God don't just come suddenly. That spiritual growth is not like dehydrated food. You pour on the hot water and boom, you've got a meal. It's not like that. Peter wrote to the early church community urging them to be patient and to view things from an eternal perspective. He says this, but do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some people think of slow, but is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Thomas was a bit of a chancer. He liked this text, And so he went to the abbey one day, and he was very excited, and he prayed, "Lord, is it true that 1,000 years for us is just like 1 minute for you?" "Yes," said God. That wasn't a very good God voice. "Then I suppose $1,000,000 would also be just like 1 penny for you." "Yes," said God. "Lord, would you be willing to give me just one of those pennies?" "Certainly," God said. "Wait here for just a minute." Too often we want God's resources without God's timing. We want the penny, but not the minute. We forget the way God works in us, and we wait, to strive, to grow. The biblical understanding of our spiritual journey, as expressed by Isaiah, begins with waiting to align us with the rhythm and pace of God's movement in our lives. "Those who wait in the Lord shall renew their strength," he says. "They shall mount up with wings like eagles." Every time I read this verse, I remember seeing eagles soaring over the Scottish mountains, golden eagles. I love mountains. I'm actually going up north of Lochinver in about a week's time, because I love being right up in the north of Scotland, and seeing the eagles fly over the mountains is very special, and they're much larger than you imagine they're going to be. The first is flapping. Birds can keep their wings in constant motion in order to counteract gravity. Hummingbirds can flap their wings up to 70 times per second. I can't do that fast. Flapping keeps you in the air, but it's a lot of work. It's awkward and tiring. So some of you might be like me sometimes and get into a bit of a flap. Anyone here? And it's, you know, you're so busy flapping around, it's hard to find God. A second method of flying is gliding. The bird builds up a lot of speed and then just coasts for a while and takes in the day. It's much more graceful and restful than flapping, but unfortunately it doesn't get the bird very far. Eventually gravity sets in and you have to start using your wings again. Gliding is nice, but it doesn't last. And then there's a third way of flying, which is soaring. Only a few birds, like eagles, are capable of this. Eagles' wings are so strong that they can catch the currents of warm air, thermal winds, and so they rise up on these thermal currents up into the air. And without moving a feather, they can get up to great heights. Some eagles have been clocked at over 80 miles an hour without ever moving a feather on these thermal currents. They just soar on invisible columns of rising air. And so Isaiah's vision for you and me is that we don't flap about in our lives, but that we soar like the eagle on the wing of God's Spirit. And soaring is not about us doing tons of stuff to get there. It's about letting God lift us, letting God give us the strength that we need in our lives. And Isaiah's vision is that God gives us that strength, that God gives us what we need to face the challenges that we face in our life day by day. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God who gives us the strength. Those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. Isn't that a wonderful picture? I hope you can imagine that in your head if you haven't even seen that. But I hope you can imagine that soaring, that picture of an eagle, a magnificent eagle soaring up. I think that's me. That's what God does in my life. He helps me not to sink, but to soar. Amen. There's a little prayer by John Bell, which I want to just pray in here. You keep us waiting You, the God of all time, want us to wait for the right time in which to discover who we are, where we're to go, who will be with us, and what we must do. So thank you, God, for the waiting time. Amen.